Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the interview with Mr. Suan Yi on July 29, 1982. This is the sixth tape, interviewed by Sue Ellen Chan. Where did Tom Govins go after he closed his shop or sold his shop?
Oh, you mean after when he sold out?
Yeah,
you know, sold out his whole business.
Yeah, right, whole business.
Well, he just lived over at 62nd Street or Gates Avenue near the, I forgot what that cross is. Well, near 62nd Street.
Uh-huh.
And
you mean 62nd Street?
Yeah.
Okay.
On south east side of Main Street over there.
Okay.
A little farther down, few street down.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember what
for
the name
retirement.
For retirement, living. Then he went back to Hong Kong, and then he came back.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I bring my wife over in that time there.
1940.
Right after World War, 1947.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. That's when my wife came over. And my wife came over, and I took her to visit him
mm-hmm.
in his place there, in his home.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, was getting old.
Mm-hmm.
He was a pretty sick person.
Mm.
Okay? And he was already sick when I took my wife and visited him.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked me, he said, his remark, I remember, he said, his friend
mm-hmm.
that he ever see him in the hospital since he was sick.
Mm-hmm.
Outside me, I didn't go see him at all, but I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fellow named Cam Tong, he said he's the only one, all these people that he helped out,
mm-hmm.
feed him,
mm-hmm.
and couldn't give him a job.
Mm-hmm.
Only one person that see him when he was sick in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that with Mark, he told me that.
Cam Tong?
Cam Tong.
Uh-huh.
And the rest is say, don't even know you.
Ah.
All these people will help out.
Uh-huh.
And then he said, outside of me, I thought I was gone because since I came on visit him.
Right,
see,
right.
He thought I was another fellow like
uh-huh.
that. No good. You
uh-huh,
know,
uh-huh.
Forget about him. See?
I see. Uh-huh.
And he said, since there are only two persons, you
and
Cam Tom.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, he got sick there. Then he went back to Hong Kong again. And that was the last I saw him. The last time I saw him, he wrote me a letter, asked me
mm-hmm.
What's a good idea to come back to the United States, live in L.A., or stay in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote back to him. I said, the best thing for him to do is come back to the United States and don't live in L.A. here,
mm-hmm.
but live in outstretched to L.A. and hire yourself a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Get away from this smog.
Mm-hmm.
Then have somebody look after you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last I ever heard from him.
Mm-hmm.
And next letter I received, not from him,
mm-hmm.
I didn't receive, I mean, I hear a telephone, call me up, his friend,
uh-huh.
Artendale, yeah,
mm-hmm.
his friend, and called me up, said, Tom Govins, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Passed Hong
away,
Kong?
Yeah, in Hong Kong.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And he got buried in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where it is.
And
yeah.
That was a couple of years after mm-hmm. you visit him, or?
No, about the same year.
Oh,
just
I
a few
see.
Months later.
I see. Mm-hmm. Why did these Chinese people sort of, I just assume that these Chinese people probably didn't like him or forget about him and didn't visit him even he helped them. Was there any sort of resentment? You said
yeah.
in the beginning that because he really, that's his characteristic and some Chinese didn't like him. And also some of the Chinese think that he wasn't fair giving the job, in the
right.
movie.
That's all I could know of.
Uh-huh.
So. Because actually, he's a really kind fellow.
Uh-huh.
He helped a lot of people.
Uh-huh. I see. So he had family in Hong Kong, though?
No, he got a sister on there. Sister have a family, I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So he went back and stayed with sister then?
I guess he probably... I don't think he stayed with sister. He stayed on his own.
Uh-huh.
Because he never liked to live with anybody.
Uh-huh.
He's the type of fellow like to be alone.
Uh-huh. I see. So that's it. The last you know about, he passed away in Hong Kong.
So anyway, when I hear him got passed away, mm-hmm. then I called up Examiner,
mm-hmm.
and gave them a news that they put in a little article, about that big,
uh-huh.
and say, it's that the mayor of Chinatown
uh-huh.
is dying certain day in Hong Kong. That's uh-huh. all that.
Oh, that's all that.
Yeah.
How about the other people in the Chinese community? Did they sort of try to remember him?
No.
No. Okay. Do you have a newspaper clips on that?
Oh, I don't know where, but I do have it, but I don't know where I put it. No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's 1940. Your wife came here.
Yeah, 1947, around about nine. When Tom was around about 4 or 5 years old, I guess.
Mhm. Okay. So.
And. When about 2 or 3 years, not about 1950 or 51 or 40, between 49 and 51,
uh-huh.
during those time he passed away.
Uh-huh.
I forget which year is it.
Right. Okay. So, well, back to that year. You said that you take your wife, back to the United States. Did you go back to China to bring your wife, or you
send
her
over here?
I see. So, why do you decide to do that, and? Why you were able to do that, and then not earlier?
Well, before World War II, you cannot bring them unless you have established some business.
And you were not a citizen.
I never did try. If I tried, maybe I could bring it over as it. But I still got to have a job and prove that you could support her before
right.
you bring it over.
Right. Uh-huh.
You see, that's the whole thing. But during that time, it's pretty hard to bring a wife over.
Especially you were not a citizen yet.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And even that, if I'm not a citizen, if I have a business over here, I could bring it over.
Uh-huh. I see.
See? I'm just like that working people. Maybe have a hard time to prove that I could support her
yeah.
and myself.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But anyway, right after World War II, Kennedy passed a law that any... that go in service could bring their wife over.
Uh-huh,
see?
Uh-huh.
Or if they want, or bring their fiance over.
Uh-huh.
Say, get married over here.
Uh-huh.
Or bring your wife over.
Uh-huh.
That's the law that immigration. I mean, the immigration law
uh-huh.
that Kennedy put over.
Uh-huh.
See, that's how it could bring it over. As soon as the war's over, I start beginning to do what you call it.
Uh-huh.
So have her fix up and bring it over here.
I see. At that time, she came along.
She came alone, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Which, of course, on the boat, she met some friends.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, one of her friends now
uh-huh.
that came over the same boat with her asked us to be a witness this coming Monday.
Uh-huh.
But she didn't want to become a citizen.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, except Monday, 10 o'clock.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So did you meet your wife in San Francisco or in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I met her in San Francisco.
Uh-huh. So that was after 10 years.
Yeah, after 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And the funny part of them, when she came over in immigration in San Francisco, she had a hard time to come out there.
Mm-hmm.
And when she couldn't come out, the simple reason why they held her over there is on account when I went back to get married,
mm-hmm.
and when I come back,
mm-hmm.
I gave them, when they asked me a question about when I got married, where
uh-huh.
I got married,
uh-huh.
and I tell straight truth,
uh-huh.
see, where and when.
Uh-huh.
But, in Chinese, in the paper,
right,
see,
yeah.
passport paper.
Right.
And I'm in a different village.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
See, I didn't tell that village, but I tell my regular village to tell the truth.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But after the truth, it's a lie for them.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
your wife...
they held her over there for a while.
Thought you were a different person.
Yeah.
From different
yeah.
village.
From different village. And why I say this and before I say that,
uh-huh.
see? And so anyway, my dad heard about it, and told him. They were worried about nobody's business, and all the kid brothers wrote letter to me and tell me to do this and do that and get a lawyer, and I wasn't worried a bit. See, the reason why I didn't worry about it, I know I could get her one way or the other, I could get her over here without no trouble. See, when I send her over, I have a lawyer to fix up my paper, you know, so her to come over. And even I tell a lie, I prove that she's my wife. See, I got I haven't got that three marriage license, Chinese marriage license, you know, three generation, they consider it a marriage license.
Yes,
See, I have that to prove it, and I also, within the law, because Kennedys I could bring in a war bride, or whatever you want to call it, see. See, that's a law, see. So I went in the service, I said, I have no trouble. If they don't have her over, I just go and get married. Right there and then, and bring it up.
Right.
See? And because you allow your fiancé over here to get married.
Here. Right.
See? So I didn't have to worry about it at all. But my dad and all the kids brought a word about it and tell me to do this and tell me to do that.
How long did Mrs. Yee stay in?
I think he stayed about a month or so.
Is it in Angel Island?
Yeah.
Angel Island or in San Francisco?
In San Francisco.
See?
And then when I worked for this another person, Ernie, Horney, yeah, his name is Horney.
Horney.
Pete Horney. He owned a place that when I first got my first job over when I came out from a service. And that, this job, he introduced him by this, my friend Bob Johnstone, the top back one.
Yes,
He's one to
introduce
me to get this job, see.
What kind of job?
Oh, it's a shipping clerk.
The
head of a shipping clerk.
At what company?
At they call it clips and clamps. You know, part, airplane part, clips and clamps.
I see.
And so anyway, so even my boss, Pete Horning, that I told him about it, and he said I couldn't get my wife up. He even called up a senator that his friend up in Washington, D.C. to get in touch with and Tom to look into that case, see? And then, in fact, it, when he called up, and of course, I have my lawyer over here, my lawyer said, don't have to worry about it, see? And I guess they did. He did look into the case or something like that. So anyway, about a week later, this my boss, Horning, he gave me his, I mean, he lent me his car, the Packer. Go up to San Francisco to pick her up.
How nice. That's nice. So where did you live when you have your wife over?
Well, I was living this, you know, the Dai Hung restaurants? Upstairs.
Broadway.
On Broadway. Upstairs at your hotel over there.
Oh, there's a hotel.
At the hotel,
Oh.
Upstairs.
Yeah. What's the name of the hotel?
Ooh, I forgot what's the name.
Oh, well, anyway, so you stay there for how long in that hotel?
Stay there, let's see, up there, stay there for about a couple months or so. Or maybe about 3 months. Actually, I don't know how long. After when I came out from the service, I think. And then that's where I lived from the beginning. And I stayed until she came over. Stayed until about a few months. And then went to look for looking around. See, during those times, very hard to find a place to live. Very hard. Because everything's occupied.
No vacancy.
No vacancy anywhere. And it happened to be, I went there, got the apartment. What at the present time is my oldest boy Tommy, Kaye, I see. And since I know Louis, Louis Toy, his name, see, and Genevieve, they're two together over here, man and wife. I happen to know them, see. And somehow we talk about it, say, well, we have a place over here, one person move out. I said, that's right, we have a place. That's how we oh. Yeah, that's right. It was on Temple Street. See? That's how I got the first apartment over there.
Temple Street.
Yeah. On Temple and Patton Street. Actually, Patton Street, next to Temple Street. That's on near Acre Park.
I see.
They call it Patton Street, P-A-T-T.
Is that a one-bedroom apartment?
One-bedroom apartment, That's where we stay over there until then we bought the house on 92nd Street.
Oh, you have a house on 92nd. Yeah. What year did you buy that house?
Well, actually, here's come. I tell you, it's a good friend. How good the friend it is. It's George Mew. That's how good it is. Because after all, a friend is a friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you come with money, it's a different friend, wouldn't it?
Right.
See? That's the Chinese way, see?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But this way, I went there straight to George. I said, I just got enough money, barely enough money to put down payment, $500,
uh-huh.
buying a house.
$500.
Yeah, $500 down payment. See? I said, look, George, can you lend me some money? He said, sure, how much you want? By the way, see? Oh, about $500. He said, okay. I said, wait a minute. Oh, before you answer that question. Now, this $500 you're going to lend me, I may not able to pay you, but I will try to pay you as long as I get some money and pay you out.
Mm-hmm.
I might, when you say this $500, maybe you give it to me. Mm-hmm. I may not able to pay you. Just never mind about that. Here's $500. Write the check in the meantime. See?
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing the writing the check. He gave me $500. Put down a down payment, and whatever save money I save,
uh-huh.
get a little furniture and that. That's how we got my first house.
Oh.
Without no question to ask. As soon as I ask, give me the money.
I see. That's really
yeah.
a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you got that house. Was it difficult for you to look for a house at that time?
No, actually, I didn't wasn't look for the house too well myself. But
mm-hmm.
it happened, it came to me.
Ah.
See? How I happen to know. Some people that she worked for sewing,
uh-huh.
and what she's sewing said, I think his boy or somebody is aging for this house.
I see. Mm-hmm.
See?
Uh-huh.
So there's a house, so very cheap.
Uh-huh.
And all you got is $7,000.
Uh-huh.
$7,000 is a lot of money.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
See? That's back in 1940. Mm-hmm. I would say about 48 or 49, somewhere in that neighborhood. 48, I think.
Oh, so like a couple of years, year later,
yeah.
after your wife
that's
arrived.
That's
uh-huh.
right, see?
Mm-hmm.
And so we went and took a look. It was a pretty nice house. Said, okay, we bought it. Actually, I wasn't looking for the house at all.
Oh,
I
see.
Came, just automatically came to me.
Uh-huh, I see.
And because during those times, we couldn't find a place to live.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to find a place to live.
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah. So I ended up $500 down there, got the money and put down payment and live over there.
Uh-huh.
Then,
how long did you live there?
I lived over there, about 7-8 years or a little more. I focused on, let's see.
So you say you stayed there for about
7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Since Tommy's and Bobby are old enough to go to school, kindergarten over there.
They were born here.
They were born here.
Uh-huh.
And school over there wasn't too good because the kids over there, and they come home and tell me, said, the kids over there, I said, got a knife pointed at them, want some money, want a nickel. See?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, even don't give a nickel. Stab you.
Mm-hmm.
So I start beginning to think. I said, I better find another place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I find this place.
Uh-huh.
See, I move up here.
Uh-huh. This is,
either the 51 or 52 came over here.
Uh-huh. I see. So at that time when you bought this house, the first house you bought, what was the neighborhood? Were there many Chinese around that neighborhood?
No Chinese. At first, it was all white people.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we left there, almost all black.
I see. I see. So when you moved there, it's all white. Did you have any trouble when you were moving?
I didn't have no trouble at any time.
So
except
nobody.
This is a school, and your kids go to school there.
Uh-huh. Nobody say that, this
yeah.
is for white, not
yeah.
for Chinese.
Right.
Oh,
because
great.
I guess I'm one of the pretty lucky person. Every place I go, I never make any heaven in trouble at all.
Mm-hmm.
Any place I go.
Mm-hmm.
Like during the working time, a lot of working fellows say, this boss is no good, he's no good. So to me, they all look good for me.
You were able to get along
get
with
along,
everybody.
Yeah.
Yes, that
so,
was
I
wonderful.
I guess I'm one of the lucky.
That was wonderful,
yeah.
yeah. And so you moved to here on Venice Avenue.
Yeah.
Okay. So at that time, was this neighborhood also white people or
Yes, quite a few white people, there are also some black.
Uh-huh,
like
uh-huh.
The corner was white,
uh-huh.
Next over here was white,
uh-huh.
And then it was a black,
uh-huh.
And a few doors, there's all white stuff, white.
Uh-huh. I see.
Very few black.
Uh-huh. And then now the is dominant.
We're all black.
All
yeah.
Blacks,
yeah.
Right. So, but then again, you have no trouble.
I have no
with
trouble
it.
With any of these.
You
people.
Have very good neighbors,
yeah.
And
very
they
good
all
neighbors.
Took care of each other.
Right.
Yeah, that was wonderful. So, that's where all the places that you have been.
All places I've been very peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
No trouble at all.
I see. Okay, now we get back again to the working experiences. Okay, and then you, you work. You know, while your wife came here and you work in this as a ship clerk.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my wife worked there too.
Oh,
later on when she came, yeah.
Oh, right. What did she do?
She fixing those clips.
Oh, I see. For how long did you two work?
Oh,
there?
I was there. Well, that's how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
She worked there for, oh, maybe almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happened a little trouble over there. The trouble is this. This friend of mine, Johnstone,
mm-hmm.
he working for Mitchell Camera
mm-hmm.
Company.
Uh-huh.
And he also worked different up and end job.
Mm-hmm.
So he was doing a delivery.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted the place to order some clamp.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnstone was supposed to be delivered. So anytime when he delivered, I always sign it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But he always have a habit, put those clamp near the garbage can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I've signed, I always go over there and pick it up.
Right.
See? This time, I didn't sign it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else signed it.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't go and bring it back.
Uh-huh.
He knows the same thing, it was habit too also.
Right.
But he didn't bring it in.
Uh-huh.
See? So he signed it and left it. I didn't know it.
Uh-huh.
See?
Uh-huh.
So next day, or that evening, the garbage collector came along, collected garbage, and I mean trash, I mean,
uh-huh.
not garbage, trash, and dumped into the trash, took it away.
Uh-huh.
So later on, of course, the boss, not the boss didn't blame on me, but the worker over there, the manager of the
mm-hmm.
place, and blame it on me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I got to pay
mm-hmm.
them on account of loss those things.
Mm-hmm.
I was asking why I have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm in charge of it, receiving,
mm-hmm.
and I'm responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
See? And so whatever this cost you, it will take it out of my pay.
Uh-huh.
I said, no, I didn't sign for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
See? And look, if you're going to take my pay, you won't see me work here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So time come along, it did take it off of pay. I said, look, why are you taking off my pay? I told you it's not my responsible.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if I don't get the money back right now, before the day's over, you won't see me tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
He told me, said, why is the boss up in San Francisco?
Mm-hmm.
See, if a boss knew it, he wouldn't do that. See?
Mm-hmm.
Because he would right away forget it, you know, give me the money, you know, nothing
right.
would happen. See?
Right.
But no, he said, take it off my pay, so he didn't pay it. So next day, I didn't go,
didn't
back,
go
to
back
work.
To work. Uh-huh.
And then, in the meantime, my wife was in 90, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So both of them didn't go back. And then I called up this bearer of business,
uh-huh.
explained it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, if in a case like that, he said, we will write my letter.
Mm-hmm.
I said, all right. So he write, they wrote, I guess they must wrote my letter.
Mm-hmm.
And then a week later, a check came to me.
Mm-hmm.
And also, with the note, asked me to go back.
Uh-huh.
See? All right. So I went back. And I worked there for about a month later. Then, not a big trouble. It wasn't my fault almost
mm-hmm.
ever. I do an order.
Mm-hmm.
See? And a girl do the typing it.
Mm-hmm.
I ordered 1,000 pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And she typed an extra zero, 10,000.
Oh my.
And that 1,000 order, I got witness.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
I got one of the head girl over there take charge of all the woman department.
Mm-hmm.
He and I, you know, we always together like that. When the order, she always come to me. I told her in between us two.
Right.
Yeah. So she's the one that know I order that much.
Uh-huh.
See, in fact, she wants it.
Uh-huh.
See?
Right. Gave so she knows me. The
yeah.
number.
So I ordered number, so. So now, and this girl who typed it knew she took it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Started crying and you know, well, that's it, end of the day. So
right.
I said, don't worry. He said, I take care of
it. Uh-huh.
He said, you don't have to mention anything. He
uh-huh.
said, I take care of it. So because I explained to him why. Because I will take responsibility for it, because
mm-hmm.
I know what she have on her mind. I read her mind.
Uh-huh.
Say. When she has something on me, she's going to fire me.
Uh-huh.
Just to get a chance to fire me.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
See? So I beat her to the punch.
Uh-huh.
So I said, so I told him, I said, it's a mistake. Yes, I did it. He didn't say anything. One of those things, you know, about a week later, I said, I got another job.
Ah,
I quit.
I see.
So that's when I went to the, didn't have no job, went to a little telephone book, you know, and all that, see. During that time, I have a Jeep then, so the Army Jeep. Huh? And then after that, then I find a job.
When was that, in what year?
Oh, let's see that.
You already moved to here then?
No. I was in the other house.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Let's see. I just bought a house, but not too long.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I bought a house not too long.
Uh-huh.
Then I got a job. No, I still live in the apartment yet.
Uh-huh.
Before I got out of this house.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, I quit. I worked for post office.
Ah.
See, post office, you know, just temporary.
Yeah.
Worked for post office.
So the early 50s
yeah,
then.
Yeah, early
50s.
Huh? Worked for a post office. Then from post office, I moved, bought this house.
Uh-huh.
See, when I bought this house, and I got a job on this Kwan & Kwan
uh-huh.
company.
Uh-huh.
I worked for Kwan & Kwan got a few years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then after Kwan & Kwan company, then I, when I took a test, went to civil service.
Mm-hmm.
That's my first civil service job.
Uh-huh.
No, of course, post office my first civil service job.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
I mean the regular job.
Uh-huh.
See,
uh-huh.
I took a test, and you know, coming talking tests always funny about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Any test, I don't care what kind of test it is, I never know the answer, but I
uh-huh.
guess the answer. The luck's always with me. I guess it right. So anyway, I have to took a test for this Shirley Depot. That's Army Air Force
uh-huh.
Depot.
Uh-huh.
And I took the first test, and I didn't pass it. I got around about 69.
Uh-huh.
I think it's 70 point passing. I think I got 65, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
70 points passing.
Mm-hmm.
65. So I said, well, on the one question I get mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
Said, if you find this number on this, just like a train, if you can't find, you look at next page. If that number, find that number.
Mm-hmm.
If that number is not there, you look for next page for the number.
Right.
And you do find the number, then you go to so-and-so. You know,
uh-huh.
continue on. You miss one, you miss them all.
Right.
See? So that question, I didn't understand what she was saying.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, there's about 10, 15 or 20 questions there,
uh-huh.
all together.
Uh-huh.
So I missed it. So I said, well, I knew I can't make it. I just have a idea
yeah,
I couldn't
uh-huh.
make it, see. So right away, I went back to get a form, applied again.
Uh-huh.
See? Then about a month later, go back to take it out of test. I said, I still remember that question.
Uh-huh.
And I listened closely.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So I listened closely, I got them all.
Uh-huh.
I'm all right.
So
I passed it and went to work. I worked there for about a year and a half. Then finally, this first test I came along, sent me a letter and said there's a job available for me.
Oh.
Well, I was working there already.
So what is this job?
It's when you order a certain thing, a filling and on the end, and I was taking care of this private place that's not is a security place.
Mm-hmm.
See, over there we've got all the tube, you know,
mm-hmm.
radio tube on different airplane part, things
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
But near the end, I worked there for security, but I worked there for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
in this cage. They call it a cage, security cage.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody go in, you got to sign in and you got to sign out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't matter who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Even president, your president come over and go in, you got to make him sign.
Right.
You can't say, okay, you're president, he let you in.
Uh-huh.
Can't do that.
Uh-huh.
So it did help me, because when a colonel, mm-hmm. top man over there, airfield over there, came in, he was just going to walk by and go in. I said, Colonel, I want you to sign this before you go in.
Mm-hmm.
So he came back, signed. He didn't say anything more. Then when he go out, I told him, the procedure, when you come in, you got to sign. When you go out, you got to sign.
Mm-hmm.
And put down the time, see.
Uh-huh.
So he came in, he didn't want to sign, so I called him back, so he signed it.
Uh-huh.
But when he went out, he signed it.
Uh-huh.
So I got a compliment from him
uh-huh.
a week later.
Uh-huh.
So I said, very good.
Uh-huh.
He said, he let nobody pass.
Right, right, yeah.
So I got there for a year, and that has got radiation.
Radiation,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I got to wear the badge,
uh-huh, right.
I got to check on every month,
right.
See how much radiation I took.
Uh-huh.
It got those tubes there,
right.
Even a little tube about that big, it cost
uh-huh.
a few $1,000.
Uh-huh.
See, those very rare tubes.
Very small, uh-huh.
You know, for the secret tube for the radio or things like that, transmitter on
mm-hmm.
it. So all those important.